Good to see everybody this morning. It's kind of, we'll talk more about this in a little bit, but kind of been a heavy week, huh? Kind of been a heavy week. We'll talk more about it. But a few minutes before Charter Kirk was shot this week, his wife, you've probably seen this, his wife texted these words, Psalm 46, God is our refuge and strength and ever-present help in trouble. So whatever we face in this life, God is indeed our refuge and our strength. Yes?
Yes.
We'll talk much more about that today. I'm glad you're here. I just invite the Holy Spirit to be here with us. So welcome to our worship. Welcome to our live stream worshipers. If you'll pray with me. Father, we love you. We thank you that you are indeed our refuge. You're our strong tower. And we overcome the enemy through our praises. We put on the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. So would you just allow our hearts to open up to praise you this morning? Would the name of Jesus be high and lifted up? We love you. We trust you. In Jesus' name, amen. If you'll rise, if you're able, let's worship.
Good morning. Let's worship.
Did you feel the mountains tremble? Did you hear the oceans roar? When the people rose to sing of Jesus Christ the risen one. Feel the people tremble. Did you hear the singers roar? When the lost began to sing of Jesus Christ the saving one. my cares aside. I'm leaving my past behind. I'm setting my heart and mind on you, Jesus. I'm reaching my hand to yours, believing there's so much more. So much more, knowing that all you have in store for me is good. It's good. Today is the day you have made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Today is the day you have made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. And I won't worry about tomorrow. Trusting in what you say. Today is the day. Today is the day. Today.
All right, we have some repeats coming.
I will stand upon your truth.
I will stand upon your truth.
And all my days I'll live for. Today is the day you have made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. And I won't worry about tomorrow. I'm giving you my fears and sorrows. When you lead me, I will follow. I'm trusting in what you say. Today is the day. Today is the day.
Before the children come up, y'all can stay seated for just 1 minute.
Tripp Moronsky, would you bring your family up here with you, your mom and dad and sister? Yeah, if the whole crew wants to come, anybody that wants to come up here with them. If y'all, I'm going to come down to you here in just a second. This is Tripp. Parker, is that your little brother? It is? Okay. That's what I was thinking. So we come this morning to dedicate Mr. Tripp to the Lord. I'm right in y'all's way. I'm sorry. So, you know, a Tripp doesn't, he doesn't know what's going on this morning, right? This is mom and dad. He just laughs at me. Thank you, Lori. Appreciate that word of encouragement this morning. Or tell everybody what your spiritual gift is, Lori.
Keeping you humble.
Okay, thank you. Keeping me humble is her spiritual gift. So Josh and Abby, this y'all are bringing Tripp forward today to dedicate him to the Lord. And so I just ask you guys again, I know y'all are both believers. Is Jesus your Savior, your Lord? Yes. And you promised to bring up this little guy in the ways of Jesus. So he'll know from the minute that you begin to raise him, that he is a child of the King, and he loves him.
Yes.
Yes. Parker, will you do that too? Okay. All right. If y'all can, y'all kind of gather up here, we're going to pray a prayer of blessing, dedication to Mr. Tripp. If you can get a hand on him or somebody close to you. All right. Lord, thank you. You, when you were knitting Tripp together in his mother's womb, you had a plan for him. He is yours. And Father, we just claim that today, that he would grow up into a mighty warrior for you, Lord, that he would love you deeply. He would understand that he is loved deeply. I pray for Josh and Abby as they raise these two precious children, God, that I pray blessings on them, their marriage, their home, and on these children, Lord, in this family. We love you and we trust you and we dedicate this one to you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
All right. Y'all want to go ahead and be seated. Make sure you greet that family before you get out of here today. All right, if the children will come forward and meet Miss Carlene for the children's message.
Guys, y'all want to scoot in. Come on. Scoot in. Everybody's going to sit on this side. Now scoot in. Thank you. All right. How's everybody this morning? Good? All right. You're not good? We got three girls over here. I think they're good friends. Are y'all good friends?
Yes.
All right. Well, that's good. Well, good. I am so excited that you're here today. Are you excited to be at church today? Yes. Are you excited to learn about Jesus today?
Yeah.
Yes, that's right. So we're going to talk just for a few minutes, and then we're going to do something a little bit different, but it'll be good. So every Sunday I'm up here, or Miss Teresa's here, and we talk about things. Do you know where we get all of our things from that we talk about? We get them from his, what do I have with me?
Bible.
A Bible. That's right. Do I have my Bible with me every Sunday?
Yes.
Do you know why I have my Bible with me? No, you don't know why? It's always because it's God's word and it needs to be with me. And it's a reminder when I'm talking that this is where it's coming from. It's coming from God's word. Is God's word important to us? Is God's word important to us? Yes, it is. That's right. And does it teach us things? Does God's word teach us things? Yes, that's right. So, okay, so the next question is, who has a Bible? Huh? You're going to get one in just a minute. Yes. You got a Bible with you today? And you may have one with you today. You may have one at home. You may have your mom and you have one at home. And that's okay. That's okay. If you've got one, you have more than one at home. That's right. And you've got a little Bible from the Gideons. That's right. So a Bible is important. And you can carry it with you. And they make them small. They can fit in your backpack. They can fit in your purse. They can fit in your pocket. And it's always fun to have. It's always good to carry your Bible with you. Did you know that? Did you know you can take your Bible with you anywhere you want to go? I carry mine on my phone. I have discovered that I really like my Bible on my phone. So it's right there. So if I'm thinking about something, and I can just look it up in the Bible on my phone. So yes. You have one of these Bibles? Miss Janice gave it to you? Okay, very good. So let's talk about what's in the Bible. Does it tell us stories about creation and Noah's Ark and maybe David and Goliath? And does it tell us about when Jesus was born? Does it tell about when Jesus died on the cross for us? Yes, it does. And it also tells us that we are to tell others about Jesus. Did you know it says that? To go into this world and tell the others about Jesus? Do you ever tell anybody about Jesus?
Yeah.
Yes, all right. Does it tell us to rejoice and be glad? Does it tell to be strong and courageous? Yes, it does. So it tells us everything that we need to know, right? So is the Bible important? Is it the most important book that we can have and the most important book that we can read? And sometimes when you read the Bible, that's a big book to read, right? But guess what? You can read one verse a day and you're reading God's word. You don't have to read all of it at one time, okay? So reading one verse at a time. And so our verse for today, it says Psalms 119:105. It says the Bible, or the word, is a lamp for my feet and a light for my path. So that's telling us that God's word leads us in everything that we do. If you're at school or at your home or at the playground or wherever you are at, God's word leads you and can guide you. Because does it help you make good and right choices? Do you ever have a decision if you want to make a good choice or a bad choice? Do you always make good choices?
No.
Do you make bad choices sometimes? Do you feel guilty? Maybe you feel bad because you made that bad choice? Yes. We should have made the better choice, right? But if we listen to God, he'll help us to make those good choices. So knowing God's word is so important. So at this time, every year, we always give Bibles to our upcoming fourth graders because they're growing up, they're getting older, and we want to give them a Bible that's for their age and that will help them grow to know Jesus more and in God's love. And so at this time, I'm going to have all of y'all, if y'all will scoot back towards the blue chairs a little bit, okay? This way. Go that way. Just scoot back. Okay. Keep going, Brandon. Keep going. So at this time, and we'd also, at this time, I want to invite all the fourth grade kids and their families to join us up front, and we're going to present Bibles to y'all this morning. So come on up, guys, and I'm going to move over here to the front. Go right up there. Yes. Y'all sure are quiet. Okay. We coming? All right. Anybody can come with the kids, so yeah. Come on. There you go. Okay. Y'all can scoot together. My chair's in the middle, but that's okay. All right. Good. What a great group of fourth graders that are here today that we are going to present these Bibles to you, okay? And I'm going to start down here, okay? And our first one, we have Emery. And her mom and dad are Bo and Keely Patton. Okay. And then we have her cousin, Jace Patton. And his mom is Brianna Patton. All right. And then we have Sawyer Casey. And her mom and dad are Kyle and Stephanie Casey. And then we have Kenny Killian. And his parents are Devin and Savannah Killian. Okay, and then we have Oliver Loomis, and his parents are Chance and Jordan Loomis. Okay, all right. And then we have Oliver Aiken, and his parents are Brent and Lisa Aiken. And then we have Colt Newland, and he comes with Rexy Calhoun and her family every Sunday. And then we have Miss Emma Chanel down there, and her parents are Jeff and Paula Chanel. And so this is just a few of our kids that are here, and we are just going to present these Bibles to them. The other kids will receive a Bible on Wednesday nights or at other times during the year. And so we want these kids to know God's truth. And one way we can do that is to give them a Bible that they can bring with them to church and that they will study from it on Wednesday nights. And it helps them to grow in God's love and truth. And so this morning, we are so blessed to be here to give you your Bible so that you can continue to grow. And so let's just I'm going to just pray for everyone. Oh, and I forgot. Thank you, Teresa. And also when they received their Bible, they received a bookmark that if y'all would hold your bookmarks up, our Threads of the Heart ladies have worked diligently and faithfully making these bookmarks for each one of our kids. And just as a reminder that they are loved. And they all say something different, I think. Some of them say they're the child of God. I'm not sure what all of them they said. But they have worked really hard to make these bookmarks for you as a gift to be reminded that you are loved. They gave their time to make them just for y'all. Isn't that a wonderful gift? And so so we thank you. So at this time, I'm going to pray for us, okay? I'm going to pray for y'all, okay? Dear Heavenly Father, I just thank you for these kids and these families that are here today, and I pray that their hearts and minds are open to know your truth and that your word will be a light to their path as they go through each moment of their lives, Lord. And I pray for them, for these kids, as they will have a passion for your word and that your word will change them because your word is life-giving, Lord. And we thank you that you love us, and we thank you that your word is true and right, and that we can live by it each day, Lord. We love you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, let's go.
Yeah, good morning. Good to see the saints of the Lord in the house of the Lord. Also good to have you worshiping with us online. Please go ahead and check into the service that you are attending. I want to remind you that our elevator is out of commission probably for at least the next 3 weeks. The repairs are supposed to start on that tomorrow, and we've shuffled classes and groups around where I think everybody is settled to where it won't be inconvenient to get to your class or your group. It's really inconvenient for me, but, you know, it's not about me. So, but I shared this last week. You know, the funds are in place to do this, and God's just been so faithful to us, and we appreciate your faithfulness. For those of you who are newer to our fellowship, our pastor is hosting a discovery class where you can learn more about Wiley Methodist Church in 2 weeks. That's the 28th, at 9 o'clock in the church office. And there will be more coming about that in the next several weeks. You know, this year is the 1700th anniversary year of the Nicene Creed. It was formulated in 325 A.D. There were a few revisions, and we recited this creed last month, and we'd like to do that at least once a month through the end of the year. And so I'm going to invite you to stand, and in place of the Apostles' Creed, we're going to recite the Nicene Creed together. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became truly human. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshiped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy, universal, and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. You may be seated. I want to encourage you to take a bulletin home with you and pray through the needs of our people. We have so many needs. This week was really a heavy week for prayer needs, prayer requests. I want to ask you that you continue to pray for one of our staff members, Brent Aiken, and his family at the loss of his grandmother, Betty Sue Arledge. Too many to mention. So I was thinking about our prayer time this morning. I don't know, this has been, as our pastor said, been kind of a heavy week, not for just him, but for me, and probably... I'm not texting, I'm looking for scripture here. Probably for a number of us, and I was thinking about the response to the assassination of Charlie Kirk and a man I deeply respected. And, you know, the cultural response, there was sadness, there was indifference, but also, and this grieves me, there was celebration. And it reminds me of how divided our nation is, how divided our culture is. And, you know, I don't care. I'm kind of a conservative guy, but, you know, I don't care if it was somebody on the other stream, other end of the spectrum for me. You know, a wife lost her husband. Small children lost their dad. And it, for me, it doesn't matter what your views are. just grieves me that our nation is so split and so divided. So I was asking the Lord, how do we proceed from here? How do we pray this morning? And I just really sensed this morning that the Lord said, let's praise our way out of this despair, if we're in despair. It took me to Isaiah 61. I think we're all familiar with this scripture. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. This is Jesus, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to console those who mourn in Zion, to give them a beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning. And this really grabbed my attention, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. And so I was thinking about the lineup of our worship songs this morning, which Brent put those together earlier in the week before Wednesday. And I don't know, it's just like there's this theme today that we just need to be in celebration and praise. So this morning during the prayer time, I'm just going to praise Him for who He is, what He does, what He's going to do. And before I do that, I want to encourage you just to spend a few minutes just expressing your heart to Him. Just adore Him. Whatever's on your heart, if there's heaviness there, release that to Him. If there's frustration, release that to Him. So let's spend a little bit of time connecting with Him and praising Him. Father, we praise You. Father, all the glory, all the honor, all the praise You are due. No one else. You have no rival. No one can compete for Your throne. We acknowledge this morning that You're holy, that You're righteous, that You're mighty, You're all-knowing, You're all-powerful, and we praise You for that. Praise You for Your attributes. God, we praise You God, You've created us all uniquely. Every one of us in this room, You have a purpose for us, and we praise You for that. Father, You don't make any junk. You created us in Your image. And so, Father, we thank You for that. We thank You for life. We thank You for sustaining us. We praise You that our very next breath comes from You. We praise You that blood is pulsing through our veins and oxygen is moving and there's this transfer of that and our cells are healthy. We praise You for that. Father, we praise You that all the days were written for us before one of them ever came into being. God, we praise You because the earth continues to rotate. The sun comes up every morning. It goes down every night. We praise You. We praise You that creation is fixed. God, we praise You. You command the winds and the waves. They obey Your voice, God. We praise You for that. And Father, as hard as it is, we praise you for difficulties. We praise you for the incident that happened this week. God, we praise you for the illnesses we go through. In all circumstances, God, we're told to give thanks and give you praise. We praise you for those circumstances. So, Father, as we do that this morning, God, I'm trusting your word that when we put on this garment of praise and we need your help, God, that you will replace a spirit of heaviness. You will replace a spirit of despair. And God, I pray that that fall off us this morning for your glory. Oh, God, we praise you because you're kind and loving and gracious. Praise you for your Son who hung on a cross for us. Praise you for the precious Holy Spirit that lives inside of us. God, again, you're worthy of all of our praise. You and you alone. You have no rival. You have no equal. We praise you. Lord, we praise you. Free us up this morning for having problems with this. Free us up from that difficulty to praise you in the midst of our circumstances. Oh God, we love you. We love you because you first loved us. Praise you. Praise you for the Son. Praise you, Jesus, for what you've done for us. And we pray the prayer that you taught your disciples to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Thank you again, church, for your financial faithfulness. You can give electronically or you can give through the offering boxes by the doors. We'd love to pray for you. If you have a need, you can slip a prayer card in the offering boxes as well, or you can connect with one of our prayer people after this service. Let's continue to worship the Lord together.
Better is one day in your courts. Better is one day in your house. The heavens are your tabernacle. Glory to the Lord.
Welcome again. You out there?
Yes.
Thought maybe y'all, when I had my eyes closed worshiping, I thought maybe y'all snuck out for a minute. Glad that you're here. If you are our guest this morning, we're especially glad you're here. Hope you feel the love of Christ in this place and the Holy Spirit. There's a card in the seat pocket in front of you that says guest registration with a blue stripe. Would love for you to fill that out, and I'd love to meet you if you are our guest. I'll be at this end of the foyer and would love to meet you. Have a free gift for our guest. Turn with me, if you would, to John chapter 18. John 18. We know the scene. Jesus is before Pilate. We're going to begin in verse 33, John 18, 33. Pilate then went back inside the palace, summoned Jesus, and asked him, "Are you the king of the Jews? Is that your idea?" Jesus asked, "Or did others talk to you about me?" "Am I a Jew?" Pilate replied. "It was your people and your chief priest who handed you over to me. What is it you've done?" Jesus said, "My kingdom is not of this world. If it were, my servants would fight to prevent my arrest by the Jews. But now my kingdom is from another place." "You are a king then," Pilate said. Jesus answered, "You are right in saying that I'm a king. In fact, for this reason I was born. And for this reason I came into the world, to testify to the truth. Everyone on the side of truth listens to me." And Pilate responded, "What is truth?" Let's pray. Holy Spirit, we need you. We need you to speak. Holy Spirit, would you speak in power and authority and transform our hearts in Jesus' name? Amen. So a month or so ago, I mentioned that this, you know, AI is kind of the big thing these days. And AI, like most technology, I think can be used for good or evil. But I mentioned a month or so ago that it's making me really nervous. The power that is in that technology, and Billy and I were discussing this, and after we kind of had our conversation about it, I went back to my office and I was just like, "Lord, I'm concerned about this. What would you have me do?" And I actually brought my sticky note this morning. I just felt compelled by the Lord. I wrote one word: truth. And I knew the Lord wanted me to speak about truth. And then so much has unfolded here in this past week. And so just there's a lot. I would ask you while I'm preaching this morning, if you would be prayerful for me, because this has been a tough week for me and for many of you, I'm sure. It's been tough preparing this message because there's so much going on up here and in here. It's just a lot going on. But I'm starting a sermon series. It's amazing how God seems to... Did you know God knows what he's doing? It is amazing to me. Starting a series, We Believe. We're going to be the next several weeks with things that are foundational to us as Christians. Today's message is The Truth Sets You Free. The truth sets you free. So I was talking about when I wrote this sticky note down. Billy put me. I actually found this and put me on. And this is part of what we were discussing. But a pastor, and he has a Christian blog and so forth. A guy named Cap Chatfield. I've never heard of him. But he actually had a conversation with ChatGPT and posted it. The questions and the responses, it's about a 17-minute video. If you want to listen to that, you can ask me or Billy to get you a link to that. But it's quite staggering, some of the things that are said. I wrote down four questions and four answers that ChatGPT, this AI app, how they answered. And the first was, he said, are humans being watched? And ChatGPT said, yes. And he said, what do they want, the people that are controlling this? He said, control. And then he asked ChatGPT, control what? People. And then towards the end of the conversation, again, it was a long, lots of questions, lots of answers that are really got my attention, but this one did for us. He said, what's the biggest threat to their agenda? And he's talking about the people that are, he set it up, the people who are controlling this ChatGPT and other AI technology. What's the biggest threat to their agenda? Listen, are you listening? Truth-filled church. That's what ChatGPT, that's how they answered. Chat said, truth-filled church is the biggest threat. Church, we now more than ever, I'm convinced, I see it all the time in our culture, I'm sure you do too, we are in a spiritual battle. We see things in such a physical realm, but if we could see underneath all of that and we could see the spiritual battle that's going on, I think it would scare us to death. We are in a spiritual battle, and the battle is truth versus lies, love versus hate. It is amazing to me, and this is just the times that it was recorded in the Gospels, Jesus spoke often about truth. He 78 times it's recorded, depending on which version of the Bible that you're reading, it's recorded where Jesus said, I tell you the truth. As he was teaching, I tell you the truth. Well, that tells me that Jesus is very plainly saying, there's also an opposite of truth, lies. But Jesus, I tell you the truth. Another version may say, truly, truly, I say to you. John chapter 8, the Jews, Jesus had been preaching to the Jews, trying to, some of them believed and some of them shunned him and rejected him. But it says this, John 8, to the Jews who believed him, who had believed him, Jesus said this, if you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Satan, the father of lies, he wants to bind us up. He sows hate. Jesus wants to set us free. He sows love. He is love. Pilate's question, we're going to let God's word answer his question. His question, what is truth? So let's dive into that. First of all, Jesus is truth. He doesn't just speak truth. He is truth. Jesus said, I'm the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. You want to know what's true? Press into Jesus. I don't know, maybe this just happened to me. Maybe I'm the only one God did this for. But when I came to Christ, when I understood what he had done for me, when I believe I was filled with the Holy Spirit in that moment, when that happened for me, suddenly I just saw things that I never had seen. I saw things that I knew were a lie in our culture. And I saw the truth. I mean, it was just, I didn't have to read a book. The Spirit just revealed to me. Jesus said, I'm the truth. You come to me, I'm going to reveal truth to you. Jesus is the truth. Pilate, God's word is truth. It's amazing, all the passages I am putting in the handout and in the sermon today, almost all of them are Jesus, quotes from Jesus. That's a pretty good place to start, huh? God's word is truth. Jesus said, sanctify them. He's speaking of the believers. He's saying, sanctify them, which means to purify, to make holy, to root out the sin. Sanctify them. How do you do that? By the truth. Your word is truth. Jesus is the Word. Hello, is this on? Steve, is this on? Can you hear me? So, John chapter 1, you can read it for yourself. John chapter 1, this word, I pronounce it logos, others pronounce it different way, but logos, if you'll notice, it says, in the beginning was the Word. That's that Greek is logos, which basically translated, it means Jesus. It's a, by the way, if you look in whatever translation you're reading, it's a capital W. Why would they capitalize it? Because it's talking about Jesus. In the beginning was the Word. Did you know that when Jesus became flesh, when he became a man, that wasn't his first sighting. That wasn't when Jesus began. We talked about it in the Nicene Creed today. He's begotten. He wasn't created. He's God. In the beginning, he was there at the very beginning. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. In the beginning was the Word, Jesus. And the Word, Jesus, was with God. And the Word, here it is, was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Skipping down to verse 14. The Word, Jesus, became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and what? And truth. He's full of grace and truth. For the law was given through Moses. The law, that's what in the Old Testament, that they were to observe the law. The law came through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. Jesus is the truth. God's Word is the truth. And Jesus is the Word. You want to know what's true? Find Jesus. Press into Jesus. Cling to him. And then number three, about truth, the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth. It's almost like God is all about truth, huh? Then again, the words of Jesus. He's telling his disciples as he's getting ready to go to the cross and be resurrected and ascend to heaven, and then you can tell that you know that they're saddened by that. They're probably scared to death. They don't understand. And here's what he says to them. If you love me, you will obey what I command, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever. The Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. Boy, if that's not happening in our culture right now. The world cannot accept him because they don't know him. But you know him, Jesus says. You know him because he lives with you and will be in you. The Spirit of God. Jesus is the truth. He is the Word which is truth. He is the Spirit of truth. And he lives inside of us. We instinctively, if we're filled with the Spirit, we know what's true. Is this on, Larry? We know what's true when the Spirit is in us. And we know what's false. We know what's a lie. But if you don't have Jesus, if you're not filled with the Spirit, you can't understand that stuff. That's why our world is so messed up. That's why our culture, it's like the culture says, my truth is my truth. How dare you question my truth? And your truth is your truth. What if your truth says that we should question your truth? That's how we get to this place where if I say that I want to be a girl, then it's my truth. The world doesn't know him, can't accept him, but we know him. Church, are you filled with the Spirit?
Amen.
You know him. You know truth. It's time to stand up. Jesus said, when the Spirit of truth comes, he not only is the truth, he will guide you into all truth. You'll just know. If you're filled with the Spirit, you'll just know because the Spirit's guiding you. what's true. And let me say this, truth is offensive to those that don't have it. If you don't have the Spirit, truth is offensive. You'll be called names. People will make up stuff about you. You may lose a job. You may lose friends. I love all of y'all, but if I have to choose between y'all and Jesus, I choose Jesus. The Spirit of truth lives in us. He will guide us into all truth. And then finally, the truth is under attack, and I've already been talking about that. The truth is under attack in our culture. It's time for God's people to rise up and speak truth boldly. And it cost Charlie Kirk his life. Jesus says, you belong to your father. He's speaking of the Pharisees. You belong to your father, the devil, and you want to carry out your father's desire. He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there's no truth in him. He lies. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of lies. I just want to tell you, and I don't say this in arrogance, but it's very clear to me, and I think to many of you, what's true and what's a lie in our culture. And too many times, either we embrace the lie or we just remain silent. Wednesday, just shortly after lunch, like many of you may have heard at different times, I got word that Charlie Kirk had been shot, and then a little bit later that he had passed away. And I don't advise this, but I actually saw video that was taken of the live event. Some of you saw that. It's horrible. There's people in our culture that lose their life, that are murdered every day. This was more than that. Charlie Kirk lost his life. He's a martyr. He lost his life for the gospel of Jesus Christ, because he was speaking truth. And if you go watch all the videos you can of him talking to students all over our nation, he was not mean-spirited. He invited people to come disagree with me. Let's talk about it. But when they would bring a question before him, what did he do? He shared the gospel, the truth of the gospel. And it cost him his life. I started to put this slide up, but I thought better of it because I'm sorry that I even saw it. You know, what is so discouraging, saddening to me, there's been probably thousands of people that have been praising Charlie Kirk and what he did and how what he meant to them and just all the good things he accomplished and so forth. And as Billy said in the prayer time, then there's some that's just like, whatever. And then, but what really saddens me is that there is a large segment of our culture that is celebrating his assassination, his martyrdom, in horrible ways, saying horrible things. And I ran across one, I'm not kidding, it was like 20 minutes after his death. I'm reading and I'm like, you got to be kidding me. The man just got murdered on live TV and you're writing this nonsense? And the one that I started to show you, and I'll just describe it. It's horrible enough for me to describe it. It was a young lady. She looked like she was maybe late teens, did a post, and she's holding up a T-shirt. And she had the look on her face, it's a smug, celebratory look, very cocky, celebratory kind of look on her face. And she's holding up this T-shirt, and it's a caricature of Charlie's head and from here up, and it shows a bullet going in where he was shot, a bullet going in and blood splattering out of the bullet. And here's what it says, what the T-shirt says in big bold print. Debate this. Come on. Debate this. What they're saying is, Yeah, you're really good at debating. You've convinced a lot of people of stuff. You can't out-debate a bullet. I'm telling you, the enemy is alive and well. And it's time for us to, it's time, silent time is over. Silence is over for me. What was Charlie Kirk's crime? His crime was telling the truth of the gospel, sharing the truth of the gospel. That's what killed him. There's an author, I'd never heard of this guy, Selwyn Duke's his name. It says, his quote, "The further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it." This week, I have gone from, I don't know if any of y'all saw the news conference from the governor of Utah. I'm kind of becoming a fan of his. I really appreciated how he responded. But he talked very similar feelings that he said this the last 2 days. This was a couple of days after the shooting. He said, "I've gone from the maddest, most angry I've ever been to the saddest I've ever been." And I didn't know Charlie Kirk, but I knew what he stood for, and I knew the impact he was having for the kingdom, especially with young people. And he said what I was, the governor was getting, he said, "Man, it is the anger was just overwhelming." And he said, Charlie's words, his own words, pulled me out of it. And he said, he quoted these words from Charlie Kirk, "The weak can never forgive. Forgiveness is the attribute of the strong. The only way out of the labyrinth of suffering is to forgive. Welcome without judgment, love without condition, forgive without limit." And this is classic Charlie Kirk, this last sentence. I love this. You may have seen it. "Always forgive your enemies. Nothing annoys them so much." That's classic Charlie Kirk right there. He shared the gospel with humor, and our struggle, you know, we've seen this shooter, we've seen pictures of him, and now they know his name, and they know that they're starting to piece together his story and all that. Did you know our struggle's not against him? It's not even against the people that are writing all these awful things and celebrating Charlie's death. It's not against them. It's against our struggle is not against flesh and blood, against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of the dark world, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. And it's against the one that has influenced them with so much hate, which is Satan. He deals in hate. God deals in love. So Ephesians 6 that I just read, our struggle is not against flesh and blood. It's against these rulers and powers of darkness. And then it says, therefore, you know what that's for, right? Since that struggle is there, that spiritual struggle, since that's happening, he says, put on the full armor of God. And the very first one of the armor, we've probably read this, "Stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist." The belt of truth that holds it all up. Holds it all together. Truth. I don't know, church. I don't know if I'm making any sense today because my heart and my mind is all over the place. But here's how I want to wrap it up. I want to say this. Jesus is truth. We must not just believe truth. I mean, it's great and wonderful that we all believe things are the truth that Jesus gives us. We must love truth. I mean, we must be passionate about it. We must embrace truth. Jesus. When I say truth, I'm really saying Jesus. We must embrace Jesus. We must courageously speak truth, Jesus. It may cost us. This came to me, and I don't say this in a boastful way. I say this in a way that just kind of got my attention. Charlie Kirk never said anything that I haven't said right here in this pulpit. I mean, he said it much more eloquently, and he had a lot bigger audience. But the things that he spoke, I've spoken. So it could just be somebody out there on the golf course that decides to line me up in a shot to shut me down. It could be any, cost us anything. Like I said, it could cost us friends or jobs or relationships. But it's time to speak the truth courageously and walk with Jesus. One of the things, as I close, one of the things that I don't say that, please don't feel condemned. I know I'm an extrovert and it's easy, these things are easier for me. But one of the things I'm like, when we open the altar for things, you know, we have sometimes none, sometimes one or two or three, whatever, that's fine. You don't have to come to the altar to love Jesus. But I'm like, man, why do we, when we're in need, why are we not flooding the altar? What is it? It may be the same reason why we won't boldly speak the truth. When we know somebody's going to put a label on us. Oh, you're just a racist. You're a misogynist. You're just mean. You're whatever. And we're scared to death that somebody's going to not like us. I want to close. I want to have a time. I don't know about you, but your pastor's struggling with all this. I didn't know Charlie Kirk. And it's not like a personal loss to me, but it's a loss to the kingdom. And I don't like it when Satan even has a moral victory. So I've asked Terry to just play a little bit. I want to open the altar for just a little while. I need to, me and the Lord are working on the forgiveness part and even the boldness part. It's one thing for me to be bold because I know most of y'all agree with me. But sometimes out there in the world, there are going to be a lot of people that don't agree with me. I think the Lord is calling us to speak boldly, to love truth, just passionately, love Jesus passionately. So I'm going to open the altar here. If you feel led, just come. If you'll rise if you're able as we close. If you don't know the truth, Jesus, I got a news flash for you. He will set you free. If you're in bondage to anything at all, He will set you free. Don't leave His place without embracing Him, accepting Him, the love that He has, the truth that He has, as we close. Question, what is truth? And I'm paraphrasing here a little bit. I think Jesus said, you're looking at Him. You're looking at Him. I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. That's good news, church. Go and share it with somebody in Jesus' name. God bless you.
The goodness of God.
Hi, this is Pastor Jeff Hatcher with Wiley Methodist Church in Abilene, Texas. I want to thank you for listening to this message from God's Word today. If you do not know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, He loves you and He wants to be your friend and your Savior. If that is you, I ask you to pray this prayer with me. Lord, I confess that I am a sinner. I ask you to forgive me of my sin. I ask you to come into my heart and be my Lord and my Savior and wash me as white as snow in Jesus' name. Amen. If you prayed that prayer today for the first time, I invite you to do four things. First of all, tell someone, share this decision with someone. We are better together than we are alone. And then also, I ask you to consider being baptized. Jesus Himself set the example for us by being baptized Himself, and He encourages us to do the same. And then I ask you to consider finding a Bible-believing and Bible-preaching church and plug in. Again, we are better together than alone. And then finally, I ask you to get into God's Word. It's not just because it is makes us a better person, but also because it is the living Word, and God speaks to us through His Word. The Gospel of John is a great place to begin. If I can help you be of any sort of assistance through this process, you can contact me at my email address, jhatcher@wileymethodist.org. God bless you.